I was checking the website yesterday, and for the first time, I've never done this before, because I was talking to somebody about websites, said, I wonder how many times people have accessed this website, just because I put it up there. And so he said, oh, you can check. And we looked around, and I found the statistics. So I checked. You know, how many unique visitors do you think I got at spolter.net? How many unique visitors? Anyone want to get?
Yeah.
200?
900 this year.
Whoa! Yes, you're cool.
Yeah, it's like, I couldn't believe it.
That's terrific, yeah.
900. A bunch from Israel, a bunch from, like, somebody from New Zealand, some from Canada, a bunch from America.
Some from also?
What?
From where they come from?
You can tell where they come from, where the domains come from, not where the people come from.
Okay.
You know, and like 85 people downloaded this year, and this many people downloaded the Pesach Guide.
Wow.
You know? I don't know if they read it, or they listened to it, but no. But it was pretty nifty. So, Miriam, well done on the recorder.
Hey, Rabbi, Okay. Well done on your recording.
Thank you. Okay. Akedah Yitzchak plays a crucial and important role in Rosh Hashanah. And the Siddur is on page 287. 287. Give me a second. I'm going to get another room.
Absolutely.
In Simcha Rabba.
She charged for your lessons.
And cup of coffee.
A cup of coffee.
It surrounds almost everything. It surrounds almost everything about Rosh Hashanah. For example, if I were to ask you, what type of shofar, what type of animal is a person allowed to use for the Rosh Hashanah shofar?
Ram.
Ram. Why a ram?
Because that was what...
Anyone was a cow. It says... It
what?
Says it right.
You're right. Really, halachically, you can use anyone but a cow. That's correct. But, says the Shulchan Aruch, says Rabbi Yosef Karo, Shofar Shor Rosh Hashanah, the Shofar Rosh Hashanah, mitzvaso, the mitzvah, lechatchila, a priori, should be b'shel ayah. That's a ram. The kafuf, and it has to be bent. Why b'shel ayah? Says the Mishnah Berurah, Zecher l'Akedas Yitzchak. Right? Why? To remember Akedas Yitzchak. Why Akedas Yitzchak?
Because the other ram was the substitute for Yitzchak.
Yeah, right. But
for the sacrifice.
So what?
Because we're out of the show to believe in God.
Right. I mean, we mention Akedas Yitzchak over and over again. Look, for example, hold your place here. Hold your place here. And look in the Musaf. Hold on a second. Look what we say. At the end on page 341 in Musa. On 341. This is part of the davening. It's just, you know, we mentioned over and over again. Elokeinu v'Elokei Avoseinu. You see where I am on 341, Ms. Rober? You're on 341?
Yeah, no, that's
349. 341. Yeah. Elokeinu v'Elokei Avoseinu, Zachreinu b'zikaron tov, remember us with a good memory. Upakdeinu b'pkudat Yeshua v'rachamim mishmei shmei kedem, and count us, remember us, with the remembrance of saying salvation and compassion. Uzecharlanu Hashem Elokeinu es habris ve'es hachesed, remember the covenant and the kindness. The eres hashvuah asher nisbata laAbraham Avinu b'Har HaMoriah. And remember the oath you made to Abraham Avinu on Har HaMoriah. Again, v'teira'el lefanecha akeda she'akar Abraham Avinu es Yitzchak b'no agave mizbeach. And you should remember, you should look before you, always remember before you, the akeda, the binding that Abraham bound Yitzchak his son on the altar. The kavas rachamav lasos b'tzoncha b'leivav shalem, and he held back his compassion to do your will. Kein yichvashu rachamecha eschaascha me'aleinu. So too, you should hold back. You should hold back your compassion. Should hold back your anger, etc. etc. Right. And how does it end? Look at the paragraph. He see where it says three lines in the other paragraph. Ki zocher kol nishkachot. With me?
Yeah.
Ki zocher kol nishkachot atahu me'olam. Because you remember everything that's forgotten. Ve'en shikachal ifnei kisei kvodecha. You don't forget anything. V'akedat Yitzchak v'zaro hayom v'rachamim tizkor. Oh, and by the way, right? Remember, akedas Yitzchak in compassion, baruch atah Hashem zocher habris.
I have a silly question.
Yeah.
Why do they always call it the akedah of Yitzchak and not hanishayon shel Abraham? Like the test of Abraham, as opposed to why the binding of Isaac? Why is it always akedah, binding? It's such a, you're not going to call it sacrifice because ultimately it was a sacrifice. Mm-hmm. Is it just because it's convenient? Is there something we're supposed to remember more important than binding?
Yeah, and we'll talk about it.
Okay.
But
so hard.
Yeah, but I understand.
Yeah, but she's asking,
why isn't it
why specifically the binding?
Why do we always...
Wait, before we get to that, Mary, I wanted to point out, that's okay. Yeah. You see it, but sometimes we're davening and saying the words,
it's
so important to know.
The
Akedah just shows up over and over and over again. You know, and I think that it's interesting. I think that especially in today's day and age, it's very, very hard for people to relate to the Akedah.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't mean anything to people. You know, it's a story.
But in those days.
But for us.
But not realistic for us because we don't do things like that.
Right.
I mean, nobody.
But that's the norm.
Right, but I'm saying, do you feel that Abraham Avinu did something for you? You know what I'm saying? When you invoke the Akedah, you're gonna invoke the Akedah. You're gonna say to God, please remember me for the good because of what Abraham Avinu did.
Right, you see, exactly that, because of what Abraham did. But the Akedah is always, you know, you use it as an adjective for Yitzchak. You don't use it as an adjective for Abraham.
Again, you're bringing yourself back to my question, not my question.
Yeah.
Your question, not my question.
No, I know.
I'm trying to co-opt me.
But...
It's a good question. I'll give you an answer a little later.
Okay.
In those days, all
forget those days. Today, the Chazal wrote it for us today.
3 years ago.
Because we're supposed
to emulate what he did.
Are we?
I would think so.
Are we supposed to emulate what Abraham Avinu did?
You're showing a great, great deal of faith.
No, we're not supposed to sacrifice ourselves for God. No.
Sacrifice ourselves, but show the kind of devotion that
it's not what it's saying. It is not what it's saying. You're right, but it's not what it's saying. We don't read Akedas Yitzchak and blow the shofar in order to teach us devotion to God. Why are we doing it?
To remember.
Just to remember.
What?
To remember what happened.
Go on.
To remember the lesson.
No, not to remember.
No.
Who? What is it for? To remind God. Not to remind us, to remind God. Lisa, I'll share with you a Gemara. Oh, I have it here. I was in Lakewood and I bought this nifty book. It's the niftiest book. It's just basically a compendium of a bunch of different sources about Rosh Hashanah. Some Gemaras. Oh, but it doesn't have the Gemara I need. Hold on a second.
There's a whole methodology in a sense.
There's a whole mode of thinking on Rosh Hashanah that's somewhat foreign to us. And I struggle with this as well. Says the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah. Let me see if I can find it. Rosh Hashanah, here we are. Says the Gemara. Here we are. Amar Rabbi Avahu. Says Rabbi Avahu, Lama toking b'shofar shel ayil. Why do you blow the shofar with the shofar of ram, like I mentioned in halacha? Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Says God, Tikru lefanai b'shofar shel ayil. Blow the shofar before me with the shofar of ram. Why? Kedei she'ezkor lachem akedas Yitzchak ben Avraham. Kadesha Ezkor Lachem. What does that mean?
I will remember.
Who's talking?
Hashem.
God is talking. So that I will remember. Uma'ane ani aleichem, and I will consider you ki'ilu akadetem atzmechem lefanai.
Oh.
As if you yourselves sacrificed down yourselves before me. No, that answers your question,
answers
by the way.
That answers my question.
Why?
It sure does. Because we're to represent that we ourselves are being bound.
Not exactly. But why is it called Akedat Yitzchak and not Avraham?
Because Yitzchak was the one who was being sacrificed.
Yeah, but Abraham was in enough to sacrifice.
So which one?
He was sacrificing for himself as well. He was sacrificing for
the Midrash. Son. Says the Midrash. One second. I just saw this Midrash a second ago. Says the Torah, "Vayelchusei hem yachdav." That's Pira. That really is, I think, very, very problematic to say such things. I've heard it. That's a terrible thing. You know what that means? You hear what she said?
No.
Some people like to suggest today that Yitzchak was retarded. He was slow.
Oh my goodness!
No.
You know what it means? It means that people today are on such a low level that they can't understand, A, honoring a father, listening to what he would say, and obeying God's will, mm-hmm. but they must attribute that to that, those three elements, honoring your parents, listening to God, and submitting to God's will, as mental deficiency. Because nobody in their right mind would have let their father do. What does the world come to today when Yitzchak has to be demented or mentally retarded in order to be capable of.
They were growing up.
It doesn't comment about Yitzchak, it comments about the people making the comment about Yitzchak.
Everything is ready here, but where's the
Allah? 1 second. Says the Torah by Yelchusehem Yachdav, I'm going to read you the Midrash. Mahu Yachdav, Shelohe Tsar, Bemasha Amalo Aviv. And he didn't hold back. Allah Kashem Shezeh Hayasameh Likarev. Just like Abraham was joyful Likarev to offer a sacrifice. Abraham samach la'akod, the Yitzchak samach le'akid. Abraham was happy. Was not happy, you'll say, but he was content, willing.
I think the problem that you're talking about, why don't people relate to it today? Because I think the obvious from 11 will that we can't understand the level that we can't
relate to it.
We're at such a high
matzah.
It's beyond.
I mean, could you explain?
I'm not talking about Abraham.
You're saying fine. I don't mind being sacrificed.
That's not a kid.
Isn't 40?
37 years old.
A person saying, "Yeah, sure, Dad. Whatever you say, I'll sacrifice."
Yeah.
You know?
Can you?
No.
What?
No. Can I imagine?
We can't relate to the idea of a person sacrificing himself for a greater good.
No.
For a higher calling?
Yeah, but you
not
take away the idea of sacrificing yourself, yes.
Huh?
Oh, yeah.
I don't know.
Absolutely.
We see it we see it latav ulabish in our day and age. It means for the good and for the bad. We see people fighting a war today that put themselves in harm's way because they believe they're doing the greater good. Mm-hmm. Oh, you'll say it's not imminent death. We see Muslims all the time with this death mentality. I'm willing to die for a greater cause. If that's what God wants from me, lahabdil. So their mistake isn't their devotion to God. Their mistake is thinking that God would want them to kill themselves and other people. I just said there's another newsflash today, right? Some guy on a bicycle blew himself up. So he injured some soldier in a jeep. Thank God, not seriously.
Three other soldiers.
But we see it all the time. So hard to relate to. Maybe hard for us to relate to. But I'm talking about a different thing. What I mean is this idea of reminding God. It's hard for us to relate to the idea that we have to remind God of something.
To know everything.
I don't think we have to remind God. He knows.
I'm sorry, but I just read you the Gemara.
I know it says that. Why did they write that?
Kedei she'ezgar lahem akidas Yitzchak ben Avraham.
If you will remember.
What?
If you will remember.
To remind God so that I will remember. I mean, there is that element. Somebody emailed me. She said, I was just curious. Can you please tell me why is it that we didn't say Berachas HaChodesh on Shabbos? Why not?
Because you don't. But is it supposed to be that God prays for the New Year?
Nope. Anybody know?
I know we don't.
Because we do enough on Rosh Hashanah.
I forgot.
So in my little book, one second, it's Tameh HaMinhagim. This is great. What? On Rosh Hashanah? All the questions are in this little book. This is like a rabbi's treasury.
That's what I said. That the book has all the answers.
It's put out by the Pearls are put out by Belzer Hasidim in Israel.
Wow.
You know, but they don't write any of it. Okay, one second.
They just put it together.
You see they're based on Mikdash the second?
I've heard of it. Okay.
Stands there on top of the mountain, gigantic.
Yeah. They built it, when I was living in Israel, they were building it, and they were trying to have it prepared for two reasons. First for Mashiach, and second of all for the Belzer Rebbe's son's Bar Mitzvah.
Which one is more important?
Well, notice which one I put first. First for Mashiach. But if he doesn't...
That's one you put first. Anyway. Ein mevarchin es achodesh Tishrei, why? Kidei shelo yeda ha-satan ematai Rosh Hashanah. We do it. Why don't we bench Chodesh?
To fool the Satan.
To confuse the Satan. Kedei le'arbev ha-Satan. Why? Shelo yada yada matayi yeh Rosh Hashanah.
Oh.
Maybe he doesn't know.
Because he's sitting in Seoul and he's waiting to find out when's Rosh Hashanah going to be. So we don't know. Obviously, we don't announce
it.
We don't want to tell him. No, don't get me wrong. But what are you thinking?
There's got to be another answer.
Okay, let me read you from the Gemara. You don't like that? That was only from the Darche Moshe. Darche Moshe, written by Rabbi Moshe Isserles. Okay?
Okay, I'll try. Okay.
In the name of Sefer Minhagim.
Okay.
But let's look at the Gemara. I read you one Gemara. So it says,
we don't want the Shatzan, do we?
Lama tokim umiriin kishehem yoshvin. There are two times we blow the shofar.
Mm-hmm.
There's tekios dim umad, as it's called, and tekios dim yushav. The tekios that are standing, the first tekios, and then the second standing. So why we do both? It says lama tokim umiriin kishehem yoshvin v'tokim umiriin kishehem umdin. Why? Kidei le'arvev hashatam, to confuse the satan.
Mm-hmm.
So there's this idea of confusing the satan. Can anybody tell me what it means? Who is this Satan?
Satan's supposed to be for bad. I mean, who is?
Right, we want to confuse him so he doesn't know. We're blowing, we're not blowing, we're this, we're that. He doesn't know. He's all for mischief, and he goes home and he has a beer.
So he doesn't do anything bad to us. Satan's supposed to do bad to you.
Right, but I'm saying to you, this idea of confusing the Satan. Like, I'm going to email back here. I didn't email her back yet, but I'm going to email her back and say, I have no idea what that means. To confuse the Satan. The same way I don't know what it means to remind God, that's why I blow the shofar with an ayah. What I'm saying to you is these are ideas that are abstract ideas, and in our own logical, concrete minds.
We don't talk like that.
Well, we don't speak like that.
No.
But I think that that's a shortcoming in us. You know what I'm saying? I think that we're missing some of the tam of Rosh Hashanah. I think that in our logical minds, this idea of not relating to the Akedah, not understanding what Avraham Avinu did, and not relating to Zchus Avos, is a lacking in us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in some sense, so we can stand on our own. We don't need Avraham Avinu. I think mentally we all say that. I stand before God, and I stand alone.
Well, we wouldn't pray to God if we didn't feel that, if we felt we could do everything ourselves.
Correct. But what I'm saying is Chazal understood that without what Avraham Avinu did, without the Akedah, we're nothing. Without what Abraham Avinu sacrificed for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we would never be here today. It never would have happened. Whereas we think, well, Abraham was good, but we're okay too. And I think that's a lacking in us, this inability to relate, to accept ideas that are beyond our own comprehension. It's a lacking, it's a shortcoming, you know, and we sort of just write it off instead of saying, wow, you really have to focus on something a little bit deeper. Yeah.
That's the reason why we don't blow the shofar tomorrow, right? Jesus got me. That's why we don't blow every
time. Ooh, let me see. One second. Hold on. I'm sure it's in my book. One second. Some slicha. Vidurei. Erev Rosh Hashanah. One second. No.
Don't blow it.
Wait. The first reason is to give a hefsek, to interrupt between the hafsek bein hatzkios, between the ones that are only the rabbanon, customary,
and the ones
that are the arais on Rosh Hashanah. But the Magen Avraham adds, kidei la'arvev hasatan. Why? So yizvor kvar av yom Rosh Hashanah yom adin. Right, he'll think, oh, they don't blow shofar today, it's over. Now, don't get me wrong, Satan must be an idiot. You know, he sounds pretty stupid.
Yeah.
How come every Jew gets it? But he's like, oh, they didn't really announce the Rosh Hashanah. We didn't really tell him when he
is. Yetzer Hara is a stupid
thing.
That's a great Russia.
Yeah. It is.
Because Yetzer Hara is a moron.
Yeah.
I like that. Maybe I'll have to use that one day.
Oh, yeah.
Right. What? How foolish that Yetzer Hara really is.
When is the right time to do Vidoy?
Yom Kippur. We don't do Vidoy in Rosh Hashanah. Okay, very good, Aviva. You were absolutely right. You do very good. Okay. Let's go back to the Akedah. So I wanted to show you how the Akedah, as you saw in the davening, plays a really, really central role in the davening. Plays a central role even though we can't appreciate it. Sometimes I think that one of the reasons we can't appreciate the Akedah is because of television. You'll say, why? Because of television? Because anything that's not present in today's day and age, anything that's not sitting in front of me that I can't, that's not tangible to me,
mm-hmm.
isn't really real. You don't think so?
No, I don't agree.
I think that, I don't know, I think that in today's generation, we're removed from things, from ideas
I think
that are beyond intangible.
But there is another
reason. You can take it or leave it. Apparently you're all going to leave it. For
no. If you've ever watched any of the television programming that they've done.
I think more if it's right in front of you. But I don't think that you can't visualize.
No, I don't mean visualize. I don't mean visualize. You said I can visualize the Akedah.
Except that you can what internalize it.
Right.
Okay. Correct. Right in front of you. But that doesn't necessarily mean you can't if it's not.
I don't think, maybe I'm not being clear, and I might be way off base. I can accept that. I think one of the problems with television today is we need everything in front of us, and what it does is it takes away an ability to internalize things that are more abstract.
Mm-hmm. Media gratification.
Do you understand what I'm saying?
I understand what you're saying.
Meaning, what is the idea of the Akedah? What this idea that Abraham Avinu showed a tremendous amount of faith, and therefore, because of that, we have the right to stand in front of a Kaddish Baruch. What does it mean to me? What does it mean to my heart? Not what does it mean on a piece of paper that I say before God. What does it mean to me? And the answer is, not much. I'm not really sure why.
But people read books still today.
Yeah, well,
and
not really, but okay.
Inspiring, and they don't need the television to substantiate that, what they read in the book.
Well, okay.
I don't think that television has that deep an influence.
Oh, without a doubt, it has that deep of an influence. Oh, that's for sure.
Influence, but not into our deepest beliefs. And
are you kidding?
The newest generation, the generation.
Are you
that's
kidding,
Ms.
Milburn? It is part and parcel of who and what the world is today. Mm-hmm. It's absolutely part and parcel of what the world is today. People don't form a thought or an idea without it being introduced to them first. I'm telling you. Think about it.
Mm-hmm.
When I think about the average American home, not your house, not my house, the average American home, television is on from the morning until the evening. It is always on. How do you have time to think? They're constantly very focused. If people are... You do it for company, for noise.
Right.
Right.
I don't
hear it. So I do the radio also.
Right.
You know,
but when you're watching TV, are you standing, sitting there? No, you're busy doing your cooking, your cleaning, your doing...
I don't care what's on... I'm not saying about what's on TV.
But it penetrates.
But it does penetrate, without a doubt. Oh, yeah. But this, I didn't want it to become a TV rant. Okay, page 287. No, not 287. 299.
$2.99. Can I ask a professional
picture
about it?
Sure.
What
time did you cook
for us? 7:30.
It was not on the calendar. 7:30.
Yeah.
7:30. Vayehi achar hadvarim ha'ila. $2.99. Vayelohim nisa es Avraham. Do you understand? Even when I'm talking about it, even when I'm thinking about it, when I'm talking about it, the Akedah, it's hard for me to internalize why that's important to us now. But Chazal understood that it is. It's important to us now, today. And it was so important that we read about it, and we mention it many times. And it is inherent in the nature of the day. The shofar is a reminiscent of the Akedah. Right, the blowing of the shofar, the way we blow the shofar, everything about the shofar, the mitzvah of the shofar. Again, it's all about the Akedah.
You are a son of your generation, sir. But the older people, we don't have this doubt. What does it mean to us?
What do you mean?
The utter proof to Abraham's unlimited, total devotion to Hashem.
I know that. So what? Good. So what?
So should we?
That's not what I'm saying. Again, that's not what I'm saying. The Akedah is not about what it means for us. I mean, it's also about what it means for us. But the way we say it to God, it's about what it means to Him. I don't say, I understand what Avraham Avinu did, and I understand what that means and what that implies to my devotion, and therefore you should remember us for the good. I say to Akadosh Baruch Hu, you remember what Avraham Avinu did for you, and therefore you should remember me for the good. Not because of anything I do. The Akedah, I've heard you a number of sources. Not that it means something for me.
It means
something to Hakadosh Baruch Hu. No, okay. No. That's what I'm saying. That's something that I'm having a hard time wrapping around myself. And maybe it has nothing to do with television. Maybe it has to do with the self-importance of today, in today's day and age. that we can't understand something that's greater than ourselves. You know, that it's not all about ourselves.
I don't think
that. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
The Akedah is not about what we get out of it. It's more important. It's important what we get out of it. But that's not what we're talking about. It's about the nature of the Akedah and inherent relationship to the day of Rosh Hashanah. To the birth of the Jewish people, as it were. When we say to God, don't do it for us. Do it because it's for you.
Because
of the Akedah.
Because we have so little to offer that we need the chus that comes from the Akedah.
Right. I think people don't understand that. I think that's hard to relate to.
But don't they say that we have gone down in devotion and all these
yes.
things?
Yes.
Well, look, if we've gone down, all you have to do is look at television and see how people have gone down.
Yes.
I just shut it off. I got sick of it already.
Well, I don't even mean that. I wasn't talking about the material. I was talking about...
Well, the thoughts that people have, if you watch that much of that television in a day, let's say the average person watches 8 to 10 hours a day of television.
I find that hard to believe. But they say that.
Lots of people do.
Yeah.
And they watch. It's garbage. Absolute garbage. They start to think like that.
Oh, sure.
It certainly has to affect them some way.
Right. Right.
So maybe we have gone down so far that we have.
Yeah, but we've gone down even before the television.
Yeah.
Yeah, but the television is even worse than it was before.
Would you say perhaps the Akedah was the moment? Like the crystallization, that moment was the moment when we as a people, through Avraham Avinu, understood what it meant to be chosen by Hashem to be His people. That was that one act, that complete and utter total faith in Hashem. Maybe that was the first kernel of... That's what we're
asking. Let me say it differently. Let me say it differently. I like what you're saying, but let me say it maybe differently. Maybe what it means is, when Avraham Avinu did that...
Mm-hmm.
In a sense, it justified God's creating the world.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's what you
meant. And choosing us as His people.
And we're just, what we're really trying to do is to get back to that place where a person could live in the world and be so devoted to God that he's willing to give up everything. And it's not that what we learn from there, but we said HaKadosh Baruch Hu, maybe what we say is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, remember how you felt on that day.
Mm-hmm.
When Avraham Avinu was willing to give it all up, and you said, for once in your existence, you said,
this is it.
That's what it's all about. There is a person who understands what it means to live in my world.
That's what it is.
That's why we keep invoking the Akedah. And that's really what the job of the Jewish person is really all about.
Yeah.
I like that. You talked that through. Very good.
I do know.
If we say HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you know, you have a choice today on Rosh Hashanah to keep going or to end it all. You know, it's all an experiment, really. Mm-hmm. It's all in God's mind. It's all in God's desire. We'd like to keep going. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, well, to be brutally honest, why should I?
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you look at the past year... Has the past year been more successful or less successful? Is the world in a better place than it was or in a worse place than it was? So we said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it doesn't really matter. It doesn't really matter what the world was or has been in this past year. What really matters is what the world can be. And what also really matters is what the world can be because of one person.
Okay.
Meaning, I can't change the world.
Okay.
But HaKadosh Baruch Hu, meaning, what was the world like all around Avraham Avinu? At that moment,
the pitch
didn't really matter. And maybe that's what the centrality of Akedat Yitzchak is all about.
Compared to the world of Avraham Avinu, it was the same discrepancy as it is between now and the world all over. And he was strong enough to preserve and to do what he was supposed to be doing.
Correct.
And isn't that enough reason why we always refer to it? It was a great overhuman thing to do.
Correct. But what Miriam, I think, was trying to get to is why is it important not for us, but for HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Because when I'm making the argument, I'm not making the argument, okay, God, I understand about the Akedah. That's where we were yesterday. How about last week, the week before that?
Now, if you walk today in Ben Yehuda Street, Rabbi Spolter, there's not much reason for Hashem to be
I would argue that Ben Yehuda's street isn't so bad.
Yeah, you walk it, down it's the street
not
to
so bad. Even there are worse places.
Right.
But I had a hard time to think. I'm better off on Sussex in Detroit. I don't see as much as I saw in Ben Yehuda.
Don't get me wrong, but if you can hide in Sussex in Detroit, you can hide in there in Sherry.
But I'm
a person who always very much likes to see the glasses half full. And even as you walk in Ben Yehuda and you see you young people playing with each other and, you know, and all kinds of things that you're not comfortable with.
And the way they're dressed.
There are mezuzahs on the doors. And the food is kosher. Maybe not kosher enough for you, but certainly is kosher.
Yeah.
You know, so as much negative as we see, you know, you look up and down Ben Yehuda Street and who's guarding the street? Who's guarding the street? Jewish soldiers are guarding the street.
Yeah, yeah.
So between you and me, you won't be able to say that ever on Sussex in Oak Park. So you can see negativity or you can try to see the positive.
Yeah, but Rabbi Schwarzer, here yeah. I would have a little child of mine and walking next to me.
Yeah.
And he would say, why is that so here?
Oh, great.
I'm
great. What do I say?
Here I have an excuse and say, they are not Jewish.
Oh, really? What do I say when I walk my child to shul on Rosh Hashanah morning and all the Jews are parking as we walk by the congregation Beth Shalom and they're all getting in their cars and parking all the way down Marlowe Place? What do I say to them? I say to them the same thing you should say in Eretz Yisrael. We try to help them and we try to teach them the meaning and the beauty of Jewish life, but not everybody understands yet. Same answer. And that's our goal. Not to deride them, not to think that it's not a good place, because to try to bring them even higher. And to point out the good and to say, wow, isn't it wonderful that so many Jews are celebrating Rosh Hashanah? How arrived that they should celebrate other things also. Jewish news? Raising the roof.
Yeah, raising the roof, and they're sitting on the windowsills listening.
That's right, like Hillel. Yeah, okay.
Did you say that?
Yeah. Okay. 299. V'halokim nisa'es Avraham. There's so much meaning in every word, but I'm only going to stop on a few things. V'yomer elav Avraham, v'yomer hineni. So the Baruch said, hey Abraham, and Abraham said, here I am. Vayomer, kachna es bincha es yechidcha asher ahavta es yitzchak. Take your bincha, the Midrash says, Abraham said, bincha, well, what do you want? I have two sons. Es yechidcha, you know, your beloved, the only one. I love them both. Asher ahavta, I love them all. No, es yitzchak. Oh. Velech lecha el eretz hamoriyah. Right, Lech Lecha, obviously referring back to the original Lech Lecha, meaning Abraham, you believed in me then. Lech Lecha now. It worked out for you good then. It'll work out good for you now. V'ha'alehu sham la'ola al echad heharim asher omar elecha, and raise him as an offering on the place that I will tell you. By the way, there's a lot of parallels. I think we've discussed this before. The parallels between this and Lech Lecha. Mm-hmm. Right? Lech Lecha, Elazra, Lamab, Elazra, El, Ma? El Ha'aretz, Asher, Arecha. Right? Back then, HaKadosh Baruch Hu left it vague. So too, HaKadosh Baruch Hu leaves it vague. And what's the point of the vagueness?
Faith.
Right. Absolutely correct.
What's
the point? Faith. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells you, do A, B, and C, time. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes to you and says, do something, I'll let you know when I'm ready. That's a lot greater faith. You know, if I tell you, do me a favor, I want you to drive to 14 Mile and, you know, and Livernois and call me.
Mm-hmm.
So what's your immediate reaction going to be?
What
for? Right, you want to know why. Why? Because you don't trust me, you know. If your sister told you that, what would you say?
Yeah, what time do I have to be there?
There you go.
Temple, I know.
Right, there you go. You know? I can't tell you why now. So, I mean, the more vague it is, the more trust it entails. Vayashkim Abraham v'aboker. Abraham got up in the morning. By the way, we see this is a makor for, this is a source for, Zuzi Magdina Lemitzvos. Right? Abraham Avinu, he should have said, oh, I've got a long trip ahead of me. I need to get my rest. No, woke up early in the morning. Vayachavos es chamaro. He saddled his own donkey. Amram Avinu never saddled his own donkey. It's like saying Amram Avinu got up and changed the oil in his car. Right? He went to self-serve. Well, everybody goes to self-serve. Anyway. Vayikach esneina rabitov etzigak v'no. He took his two na'arim, his two yutes. Vayivaka. You got that? Vayivaka ase ola. He split the wood. And how old is Abraham now?
In the
90s? No, Yitzhak is 37. So how old is he?
He's like 100 and something, 120?
127, right? Wasn't Yitzhak born when he was 90? Well, he's 100. He was born when he was 100, right? Not 90. Small was when he was 40. He's 137 years old. Don't get me wrong, but I should live to be 137 and still split the wood, you know. That's pretty good.
At that point, you won't be able to split a mat, let alone break a mat.
He didn't say that. Said by Yivaka, he did it.
I know, but they say that he had servants.
Sure.
Not a servant. So
no.
He have to split the wood. Why couldn't the servants split the wood?
The answer is?
Because he was doing it for a mitzvah. You run to a mitzvah, correct. You do it yourself.
Correct. If you want to do the mitzvah,
you do it yourself.
Do it yourself. You know, but there's a lot of truth to that. Let's say, for example, I don't know, Rambat wants to send you, Mrs. Seligson, a son of Tovah greeting. So the big difference if he sends you in the mail, or if he sends his son, or if he shows up on your door and says, I want to wish you a son of greetings. Big difference, right? And this is also actually true that people forget in today's day and age. We've lost the sense of the personal. You know, in today's day and age of phone calls and emails and, you know, and all these different things, people still forget that everybody wants a personal touch. They want the personal connection, you know, and the value of a handwritten note. And what does it mean? It means you have a personal connection with somebody, and maybe even more than that in today's day and age, because everything is so detached. People crave that personal connection even more strongly. You know, I don't want an email. I don't want an e-card. I want you to send me, I want you to call me. I want you to say hello yourself. You know, and Abraham Avinu understood that.
That's what all the men, every all the man is columns I write there. There's a Guinness man is, can we email our thank yous for our challenges? No, you're in there. You're email thank you notes.
Correct. Right, absolutely true. Bayelech Elamakom Asher Amar Lo Elokim. So Abraham went to the place that Kadosh Baruch Hu told him. In my book, there's also the Akedah in here. There's a bunch of nifty midrashim. I'm going to share with you some of the cool midrashim. Okay, one of these I think I've shared with you before, but I want to postulate it based on the idea of Tashlich. Anybody read my little thing on the in the bulletin about water, right? Did you read it?
I remember, yeah.
I sent out this monthly show bulletin thing about, and in my article was about water. It was about how water is connected to the Torah. There's a whole midrash about how water is connected to the Torah.
You also had sugar.
Yeah. You like that tie-in? Ah, sorry. Well, I'll give you a... You read it?
No.
Huh. So many things to read, so little time. So, I see all those people downloading my thing on the internet. You know, like, okay, whatever. So, what?
900.
So I wrote an article. Basically, the first thing that they teach you on this diet that you learn is you have to know the difference between when you're hungry and when you're thirsty. Mm-hmm. Not any good diet. Because very often, people eat because they feel a sensation in their mouth, but in reality, they're not hungry. In reality, they're thirsty. And God created us in such a way that there's a big difference between water and food. Food satiates. Water, it cools us. It maintains our equilibrium. It maintains our body. Without water, we would die. In fact, interestingly enough, what percentage of our body mass is water? Anybody know?
97%.
What? 80%. 80%. Good. In the Midrash, in Chazal say that water is connected to, compared to? Anybody know?
Torah.
Right? Water is Torah. Torah is considered like a spring, like a well. I don't remember the article right now off the top of my head, but there were all these beautiful midrashim about the powerful connections between water and Torah. How water revives, water flows downward, just a tremendous connection to the idea that water is like Torah. So if water is like Torah, what is food? Meaning if a physical body needs food and water to survive, and water is analogized to Torah, then what is food? Everybody with me here?
Yeah, would be the Midrash.
What?
the Midrash?
No. If water...
Water is Torah.
Mm-hmm.
Food would be an accompaniment.
Mm-hmm.
It's the
kemah. Right, correct.
Inain kemah.
Water. Then the food is our... Oh, I like that. Then the food is our physical needs. Meaning, when God created us as physical beings, we needed food, we need nourishment, but we also need water to drink. So when He created us as a combination, we need water, the Torah, but we also need physical sustenance, kemach. Right? So very often, though, and by the way, what's the proportion? How much do you really need? Again, what percentage of you should be water?
80%.
It should be 80%. But very often we fall into the same trap that people fall into when they eat. They feel thirsty, but they think they're hungry. Their nefesh, their soul, is crying out for water, and they know they need something, but instead of getting what they need, they look for junk, for physical. What? No, this isn't good for Weight Watchers. Is it good? Yeah. Anyway. I could be the guest speaker of Weight Watchers. Very good. So it's very interesting. I'm going to get back to the Akedah in a second. I'm leading there somehow. Okay. So very. I heard this here given by Rabbi Weinberger, Rabbi Moshe Weinberger, who's a rabbi of a so-called H. Kodesh. He does an amazing phenomenon in America today. People go to movies called horror movies. You know what horror movies are?
Scary.
Right. They go to a movie to be scared out of their wits. Now, I have a simple question for you.
Why?
What?
Because you feel. Because you sit, you
right.
feel.
I went to, somebody gave me tickets to a Pistons game, the first playoff game that the Pistons were in.
Was that
this
a horror
year.
Movie?
No, second, no. No, it wasn't. The place was sold out. It was so loud. They won by like 30 points. It was the most exciting basketball game I've ever been to. If I tried to get 20,000 people to be that excited about something, what other than sports could I get them excited about? I might speak about this next year. 20,000 people to be screaming. I can either give them all cars, right? I can give them all a
Thank
car.
You, Thank you, Oprah.
Very clever. They were screaming like there was no end, right? You heard this on the radio? You saw this? You heard about it?
It was GM.
Oprah gave each person in her audience a car.
Yeah, everybody. Each person got a car.
Yeah, actually, Oprah didn't give them anything. General Motors gave them all a car. They're all saying thank you. Who are you? You didn't give anything. You know, anyway.
But she got it to happen.
Yeah. So,
I don't know how you can get 20,000.
How do you get 20,000 people?
Mashiach.
Halavai, I'm not even sure.
What's his number?
I'm not even sure. We'll see.
Okay.
But they scream, what are they screaming about? A bunch of men who are able to throw a basketball into a hoop better than their opponents.
It's true.
I'm telling you, I was at the game. Oh, it was great.
Yeah.
It was great. I loved it.
Well,
it was exciting.
What about now with the Ryder? What is it? The Ryder's Cup?
Oh, that's boring. God,
what is this? What's the whole purpose?
That's
people
boring.
Getting excited about men hitting a ball with a stick. And you can't even talk.
It's all I do. Hitting the ball into the cup or throwing the ball into the hoop.
But I'm saying, think about it. This is the world we're in. What I'm saying to you is, but what I'm trying to say to you is, it speaks to a need, a spiritual need that people have. They're looking for the exhilaration. They're looking for thrills. They're looking for something.
It's spiritual.
Yes, without a doubt it's spiritual. What do they get physical out of it? What do I get physical out of watching the football game?
The basketball game.
What?
We think that it's spiritual.
What are you looking for? Think about it this way.
You feel like you're the person.
Why is it that I enjoy sports, and I'm starting to get a little tired of football, but if you were to ask Rabbi Moshe Feinstein, did you see the basketball game? You know what he would say to you?
No.
Am I going to waste my time with a basketball game? A bunch of men? Throwing around, go to Rabbi Irons and ask him, ooh, did you hear about the football game? You know what he'll say?
I bet he listens to
me. I doubt it. Highly.
Angeman.
He's got more important things to do. You know why? Because he's not missing anything.
He gets that all high from
correct. Absolutely.
Wasn't there, but wait a minute.
Absolutely.
Wasn't
meaning, people are thirsty, but instead of, I mean, actually, basketball game is not bad. That's very healthy, exciting, exhilaration.
Right.
But then they go get it in other places that are unhealthy, very unhealthy. Sure. Very detrimental and very dangerous.
Wasn't there a big thing when Rebbe Chaim Jungreich started her organization, Hineni?
Yeah.
There was a huge rally at Madison Square Garden. I think it was about 20 years ago.
And they screamed as loud as they did at the Pistons game?
I don't know how loud they screamed at the Pistons game.
No way.
They were,
you know, if you want something close,
yeah,
go to the Museum Daf Yomi.
Yeah.
Go to the Museum of...
Oh, my. Didn't they broadcast? They simulcast one about 3-4 years
ago?
Yeah,
no, 7 years ago. It's going to be this year. Pesach, right before Pesach, it's going to be this year.
Where's the team going to be?
He went?
Is it going to be at Madison Square Garden?
Hard to get a ticket.
He said there's nothing like
it. Yeah, I'm sure.
He experienced it. Says nothing.
So, all I'm saying, you know...
Yeah. But
so
right,
what that means is that there's mayim, there's water, and then there's everything else.
So when you're
sometimes, very often, all too often, we're thirsty. But we're looking for it somewhere else. We're eating food instead of drinking water, instead of looking to the Torah. And the only way you can know that all you need is water is there are people that don't need anything else.
People say I'm thirsty.
Yeah, that's fine. That's healthy. That's spiritual. That knowledge. So I'm saying to the people that don't have the Torah, to non-Jewish people, they can fulfill that through intellectual means, through a spiritual quest. They can be involved in politics. They can be involved in bettering other people, and find their passion that way. And those are very meaningful people. And they find, you know, there are plenty of people that have no interest in sports but are very passionate about other things. Mm-hmm. So you can either find it healthy or you can find it not healthy. So I wrote in my thing, I think it's worth noting, it says, we say, b'sashlich, we go to tashlich. What is tashlich? We throw our sins into the water. Mm-hmm. Like some kind of joke? Are you kidding? Again, the Sutton thing, right? Like, mm-hmm. Again, the symbolism.
We let the fish eat.
We let the fish eat their sins.
Mm-hmm.
Why water? Because water
symbolizes
the antithesis of sin. Water refers to
cleanliness.
To the Torah, right? To spirituality. And we throw our sins into the water. Why? Because when you throw your sins into the water, when you immerse them in Torah, when you immerse them in holiness, then there are no sins anymore.
There are no more sins.
Isn't that nice? So listen to this Midrash. Midrash says, Midrash Bereishis Rabasi. Lama Nishakev, the Midrash is better spoken than it is written. It's hard to convey that in the writing. Lamanish Akev Shlosha Yamin says that Abraham by Yom HaShlishi. Abraham and Yitzhak went 3 days. Why did it take 3 days? How long does it take to get from Hebron to Yerushalayim? It's not a 3 day walk. Oh, not so far. Take him a day, maybe.
Okay.
So they went on their trip, they started walking. Halach sahasatan v'asa lifnehem nahar gadol she'ein lo ma'avar. I think I've read this midrash before. Mm-hmm. Ringing a bell?
Yes.
We need a new idea, a new way of understanding it. So the satan went and made a great river that had no bridge. So when they got to the river, Abraham said, "Nu, who's going in?" Amro hanarim anachnu yardim v'roim im yesh mayim harga. We'll get in and we'll see how deep the water is. Amar Abraham. Abraham said, "Ima azveim leirei shem magitve usham." Hey, I can't let them go in. Maybe they'll drown. Yarad Abraham va'alu hamayim al birkav. So Abraham went in. Left his knees. Amar lehem radu she'ein mayim yotem mikan. He says, "Okay, come on in. It's only up to the knees. No problem." Kevan shehigiyu lachasi hanahar amdu hamayim ad savar rehem. When they got to the middle of the river, the water is up to their neck.
Not so good.
At that point, Abraham raised his eyes to the heavens. And he said, Master of the universe, you chose me and I was chosen by you. You revealed yourself to me and you said, "You are the only one in the world." I am only, I am unique. You say my name in the world. And you said, "Offer Yitzchak as an offering, as an ola, as a sacrifice." I didn't think. I didn't stop. I'm doing what you asked me to do. Listen to this. Now the water is up to my soul. What does the water mean? What? The Torah. The whole river, this river, is it a real river? I don't know. But all of us, at one point or another, wade in that water. We wade in that river until the river is up to our necks. And we think that the Torah asks too much of us. What is the satan? The satan is ourselves. It's our own doubt. It's our own wants and our own desires. And so Abraham Avinu went into the river, and he dove into the river, and he's up to his knees and up to the waist and he's up to his neck. But then there came a point where he says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm doing what you told me to do, but it's too much. Higiyu HaMayim, the mayim, the water, the Torah, Ad Nafesh, it's almost too much for me. Ba'oso saw at that point, Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it'll happen because of you. You will make proclaim my name. And the water, the river dried up. All of us have that crisis of faith. And sometimes we wonder, you know, is this really what we're supposed to be doing? Is this what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to be doing? Can I do it? Can I fulfill what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants me to do? Sometimes all of us say, it's not that there's a river, but we find our Yiddishkeit sometimes challenging us. And that's when we have to follow the model of Abraham Avinu and look up to Shemayim and say, it can't be too much because you told me to do it. So you have to help me through. And somehow when you do that, you look around and where you were standing, and there was a river before, you're standing on dry land. Such beautiful imagery, such powerful imagery, really powerful. And I think it's a great way to enter into Rosh Hashanah. So whether we understand it or not,
you compare this thought that you just developed so beautifully to your feelings last week.
Not on the tape. Let me finish. So whether you appreciate, whether we appreciate and understand what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants. And gets out of Akedah Yitzchak or not, maybe in the merit of what Abraham Avinu did and our understanding that it's our job to try and emulate and recreate, hopefully HaKadosh Baruch Hu bless us with a new year of bracha.